American composers in Paris. You think of Gershwin, of course, and George Antheil, Virgil Thompson, Copland, Butstein. They all went there before the war to soak up the culture and study the prevailing techniques. Following in that tradition, though maybe not in some others, was Philip Glass. He spent formative years in Paris after the war, studying with Nadia Boulanger, the imposing woman who'd trained and shaped a couple of generations of musicians. And then the young Glass, during his off hours, traveled to another quarter of Paris to notate music for Ravi Shankar, the remarkable Indian virtuoso and composer. So he had what he calls a double whammy.
Meeting those two people at that time in the mid-60s or the early 60s changed radically and completely the way I approached music.
How? How did it change your thinking?
Well, as a matter of fact, when I say it changed radically what I did, because both of these persons were, they were powerful personalities and powerful musicians. With Ravi, I was being introduced to the practical world of music. And with Nadia Boulanger, I was being introduced to the foundations of music.
Working for Ravi Shankar gave Glass his first look at composing for the movies. Shankar was improvising his way through a score at the time.
This was at a studio on the Champs-Élysées, and there were never less than 20 or 30 people hanging out, just watching this. This is Ravi in a very creative moment of his life, which there have been many, and it was entrancing to be there. But my job was I was responsible for notating the music, which was no easy thing to do, because the structure of Indian music is different from Western classical music, and I had to devise notational strategies to make it playable.
The film they were working on was Chappaqua, Conrad Rook's very 60s, very psychedelic fantasy.
I was mostly concerned with the rhythmic structure because that's where the problems of notation came in. The melodic structure, I could hear it pretty easily. But notating the rhythmic aspect of it was much more difficult. Alaraka was the tabla player with Ravi Shankar. And in my experiments, I was first writing it with bar lines, and then I couldn't get the bar line in the right place. I was in a total panic. And he kept saying, no, all the notes are the same, all the notes are the same, all the notes are the same. And finally, I took the bar lines away, and sure enough, they were all the same. And I finally was able to arrive at it very quickly. By lunchtime, I had a usable notation that would work for this piece.
Meanwhile, Glass reported for lessons three times a week at the Rue Ballou studio of the famously demanding Nadia Boulanger.
Whereas Ravi, his method was to teach with love. Hers was to teach with an iron bar, practically. She beat the music into you. I had some background, but not according to her. So we had to start from the beginning again. There was just a lot of work to do. You were also expected to memorize huge chunks of music and all the possible cadences from any one note, for example. There's all kinds of things. You can't believe the kind of things she did. And that was the routine. It took more or less, it took me 6 to 8 hours a day just to prepare all the work that she expected for the week.
What did you think you were doing with her? That is to say, were you arriving at something, or were you just getting the basis for having the equipment?
I didn't really know for a long time what I was doing there, except I was establishing a very solid technique that I, which I did not get at Juilliard. At Juilliard, Juilliard was a school full of talented kids who fed off of each other's talent, and after 4 years, you got a diploma. That's what it was. She actually had her pedagogy was much more direct.
Was the atmosphere that she was on your side?
No. The atmosphere was that I was going to get thrown out of the class at any moment, and I sometimes was. If I brought a mistake in the music, I could be the class was over. I was not allowed to make a mistake. That happened only once. You come in and you have hidden fifths in your counterpoint, and she points them and she says, well, you obviously haven't been working this week. Why don't you go back and I'll see you next week. That's the end of the lesson. So she was not on your side. She was like, she was maintaining these very, very high standards, which were virtually impossible. But I found out how to do that. By the time I finished with her, I had a complete confidence in writing contrapuntal music and harmonic music, for that matter. So that it wasn't very many years later that I began, in fact, it was right then that I began to work in a new style of music, which was very radical and which caused a lot of commotion.
So Glass's experience in Paris did lead him to his now-celebrated style, but it kind of backfired.
I couldn't find anyone in Paris that would play my music, actually. I wrote music, and people would look at it, and they said, "We can't play this music. We will not play this music." I said, "Why not?" They said, "It's not music." There was that moment that Paris seemed to be in the center of everything, and then it kind of disappeared. But for that moment, it was a good time to be there.
Paris had once again weaved its spell and then unraveled, you might say. Philip Glass left Paris for New York, which very quickly embraced his style.
I was happy to leave, though I like Paris, and I still go there from time to time.
Which is not to say that Philip Glass might not cause some other commotion someday. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishkoe.